We'll be looking at some verses in Acts 1 and 2 in just a moment. As Ben gets up a phrase, remember this from last week? Watch your life and doctrine closely. That's what we'll be looking at these coming couple of months as we reflect upon, as we go to ECO, what it means to be covenant partners. And that gets right back to watching your life, you know, how we live, how we speak, all that, and your doctrine, you know, how the worldview that we have that's biblically based. So we're going to be kind of unpacking that. Now, quick quiz. What well-known chain, store chain, has the initials of B, B, and B? Bed Bath & Beyond, you're right. What well-known civic organization has the triple B initial? Better Business Bureau. What three aspects did we look at last week that are essential in a healthy church? Three B's. Believing. Belonging. Behaving. Okay. Yeah. Now, let's see. That should go... let's see. I mean, do I have to come closer? It's supposed to go... There! Bingo! There it is. The three B's. Believing, belonging, behaving. Now, the believing is, again, our worldview. Believing through the lens of the Scripture and that Christ is Lord and Savior. Belonging is this reminder. We, through the blood of Christ, have been brought into this new covenant by which we've been reconciled to our Father. We are His children, a part of the family of God, the body of Christ. We belong not only to God, we belong to one another. And so the behavior is because we now belong to Christ and we follow God's word, how we live. A life of love, a life that honors the Lord, has also been transformed. And so we used this picture last week. It should come up. There we go. And you may remember this. Here is our centennial picture 6 years ago, and it kind of represents FTPC. We're the people. Because of Christ, crucified and risen, we have been transformed. Our belief, our identity, who we are now in Christ, and how we live. And therefore, our philosophy of ministry is we, because of Christ, are a people who are a praying people, worshiping. We're experiencing His healing grace as He heals us from our wounds and hurts. We are equipped in the Spirit according to the Word of God, and then we are deployed. We're sent out. That's what we were looking at. So what we're going to be doing is today and in these coming weeks, looking at key ingredients of how this is expressed, not only in our philosophy of ministry, how these triple B's are lived out, but we've looked at this for the last few years, our FTPC membership covenant. It has four major sections and 16 little bullet points. We're going to see how each of the things that we're going to be looking at find expression here and in our philosophy of ministry. And today, we're going to be looking at a wonderful tool that our triune God has given for the development of the church from its very beginning to this day. And we uncover that in the book of Acts. And so the passages we're going to look at is in Acts 1, going to start in the verses 4 and 5. Now the setting here is that this is during the resurrection period when Jesus over 40 days would appear off and on to His followers and to many. It says in Corinthians, over 500. And we're going to start here with verses 4 and 5. So let's hear the Word of God. On one occasion, while He, meaning Jesus, was eating with them, He gave them this command. Do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift My Father promised, which you have heard Me speak about. For John baptized with water. But in a few days, you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. Then picking up the narrative after Jesus ascended to heaven, then in verses 12 through 14, we read this. Then, after His ascension, they returned to Jerusalem from the hill called the Mount of Olives, a Sabbath day's walk from the city. When they arrived, they went upstairs to the room where they were staying. Those present were Peter, John, James, and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew and Matthew, James, son of Alphaeus, and Simon the Zealot, and Judas, son of James. They all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. Now, after 10 days came the day of Pentecost, and that's the coming of the Holy Spirit to empower them. 3,000 folks were saved on that very day. And then we pick up the story in chapter 2, verse 42. Now that there's this dynamic group of young Christians, young in terms of new in their faith, in the church. A wonderful summary verse here, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. May God give us understanding of these words. Now, I want to show you something here. Bring out a little table. Something about our life, every one of our lives. We could almost say this is true both personally and corporately. Okay, what I have here is a jar of peanuts, except, sorry, I ate all the peanuts. So this is what's left, just an empty jar. And what I want to do is I've got some golf balls here, and we're going to put the golf balls in the jar here. Let's see if I can get them all in and still get the lid on, which I probably... There. Okay. Now, question. Is this jar full? No. Why not? There's still space. So it's full of golf balls, but it's not full. So what I can do is I have here a bunch of these little flat red rocks, and I'm going to put them in. Oops, there we go. Okay. They work their way down. And now, is the jar full?
No.
Not yet. So, I'm also going to get here some sand, which I have, which I hope I will not spill. Sorry, Adriana, if I do. Here we go. And we can put sand in. And a whole jar of sand. There we go. And now, is the jar full? No, still not full. We could put more in here, but I want to illustrate something. This is kind of like our life. In our life, the golf balls represent those things that are the biggest, the most important thing, our relationship with the Lord and our relationship with family and friends. This is really what makes our life. The little red rocks, those are things that are part of life. They are really kind of necessary. You know, we have a home, a car, a job, our computer, our iPhone, you know, these type of things that are there. But if we don't have those most important things, those golf balls, life would be rather shallow. Now, the sand represents all the small stuff that just goes on every day in our life, all the little things that happen. Now, suppose that before the golf balls got in, suppose I had instead filled this with sand. We wouldn't be able to get the golf balls in. And unfortunately, this is how a lot of people's lives are. They're so caught up in all the small stuff that they can't really experience the blessings and the joys of the golf balls of life. And sometimes it's in seasons. Maybe we've had the golf balls, but you know, our life hits a point where we get so caught up in all the everyday little worries and stuff like that, that the golf balls are crowded out. And even the red rocks that are necessary. Now, there's one other thing we can do. When we have the golf balls in there, when we have those priorities right and we build our life around the golf balls, one of the neat things is that there is always going to be time and there's going to be room for a cup of coffee with friends.
No.
It's always time. Or for those of us who don't drink coffee, a cup of orange juice or lemonade. In the scriptures, our Lord has given us some wonderful golf balls to build our lives around. And what we want us to see is there are two very essential golf balls that even other golf balls sit on. And we're going to be looking at one of those golf balls today. But first, we're going to look at the other one. So let me grab, here it is, the Bible. And the other golf ball that is so essential is found in verses 4 and 5 of Acts that I read. Now remember, this is during the time of Jesus' resurrection. He appeared off and on to them, and this was one of those occasions. Imagine the excitement of those days. As traumatic as Jesus' crucifixion was to his followers, so was the exhilaration of his resurrection. It was incredible. And it was fascinating. Jesus would just suddenly appear. He would teach. He'd eat with them like here. And then suddenly he'd be gone. Where'd he go? You know, then they'd wonder, okay, when's he going to show up again suddenly? It was kind of a magical time. And finally, now, because Jesus was teaching him, finally they realized, oh, this is what his crucifixion was about. This is why Messiah had to die. We didn't see it, but he was the Lamb of God, taking away the sin of the world. Now we understand the crucifixion. Now we know he's conquered sin and death. He's alive. And they were probably itching to get out and tell the world. But Jesus said in this occasion, he said, wait. Waiting is not easy. It's certainly not easy for us busy Americans. Waiting wasn't easy for them as they were itching to get out there. And waiting doesn't mean inactivity. But it does mean as we go about our lives, we're trusting God in his timing. So Jesus said, wait. And what were they to wait for? Until they are baptized with the Holy Spirit. This is something we've talked about a lot in previous times. Basically, what he is saying is, yes, you now understand the cross. Your hearts have been changed, but you need empowerment by the Spirit in order to bear witness to me. And that is an essential golf ball. Now, we're going to address that more on October 23rd. That's when we'll be looking at that essential golf ball. But it leads to the second essential golf ball because he said, wait. And while they were waiting, what did they do? Just twiddle their thumbs and say, well, what are we waiting around for? No. That's where verses 12 to 14 came in. After Jesus ascended to heaven, and it might have even been that very day that he told them to wait in Jerusalem until you've received power from on high when the Holy Spirit comes. You've been baptized in the Spirit. Wait. But then Jesus ascended to heaven. At least he gave them a clue in a few days. He said, you don't have to wait for years on this one. And then Jesus ascended to heaven. And what did they do? They returned to the upper room. And verse 15 says there were 120 of them, the 11 remaining apostles, other followers, including men and women. Interesting to note, it specifically says here, among the women was Mary, the mother of Jesus. This is the last mention of Mary in the New Testament. Isn't it significant that she who gave birth to our Lord and Savior was a part of those who prayed and gave birth to his church? So they prayed there in the upper room. Prayer is that other essential golf ball. Think of it this way. When Jesus ascended to heaven to be at the right hand of the Father, he didn't leave a well-organized group of people saying, okay, now you can start the church because I've given you all this organizational structure. He left two things. He left the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and a people praying. And friends, those two golf balls are essential for the building of the church ever since then, including today. Now, Jesus gave other goals. He had some other very important things, other golf balls that were very essential to us, like the great commandments. Love God completely. Love your neighbor as yourself. He gave us the great commission. Go and make disciples of all nations. He gave us that wonderful promise. Someone prayed during our prayer time earlier. Thank the Lord for his promises. He promised to always be with us. All of these are incredible golf balls. But they rest upon the fact that we are to live by the power of the Spirit and we are to be a people of prayer. And so that brings us to chapter 2, verse 42. The waiting is over. The Spirit of God has come. Pentecost has happened. Thousands now are putting their faith in Christ and beginning to grow. And we have this great summary verse. What I want us to see here, first of all, is a key word in this verse. Devoted. They devoted themselves. These were not, you know, passive commitments to Christ. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for dying my sin. Kind of be there in case I need your help. I got my life to live. It wasn't like that. They were now completely devoted to their Lord. And the devotion is expressed in four ways here. First, to the apostles' teaching. There's the believing part. That belief that now the apostles are saying, here's what Jesus wants us to know. Here's how the Bible, here's how he fulfilled the Old Testament. Here's how he wants us to live. The New Testament is, in a sense, the apostles' teaching that we have. And then they devoted themselves to the fellowship. That's the belonging part. They knew, hey, now we're together in Christ. We're part of his family. They devoted themselves to that. There was no individualism like, well, this is just between me and God. There was fellowship. And then they devoted themselves to the breaking of bread. That's sacramental language, which meant that they continually remembered who they were by the breaking of bread, the sacrament of what we call the Lord's Supper, so that they knew that it's by Christ's crucifixion, his shed blood, that they are united to him and to one another. And then, number four, they were devoted to prayer. Now, that's interesting. And here's why I wanted that verse to be a part of what we're looking at today. The waiting is over. The Spirit of God has come. But they weren't saying, okay, now that part's happened, then we can go ahead and stop this praying business. No, they keep on praying. That's just a part of who they are as the people of God. That's how the church is built. Which brings us back to golf balls. We at FTPC, we've got some red rocks, we've got sand, and other things that are just a part of doing church. We've got committees, we've got a building to take care of, and we have little things that come up. But may they never crowd out the essential golf balls for a healthy church. Prayer and the empowering work of the Holy Spirit. And so that's what we see in our philosophy of ministry. We have, of course, prayer. This is that golf ball, which in this case, prayer really affects every dimension of who we are. Prayer is a part of worshiping. It's a part of our healing ministry. You know, there's a lot of that happens at a river service tonight. We spend more time in prayer, and there's a lot of healing from hurts and so forth. Equipping, prayer is a part of that. And deploying, when we go out and we serve Christ in the community, we're at jobs, we pray for the people around us, we pray for wisdom, how to live for Christ in a secular setting. Prayer is a part of everything. And in the 16 bullet points of our membership covenant, prayer is prominent in three of those 16. It's just a part of who we are. Now, as we've reached this point, I think we want to emphasize again, prayer is all about relationship. It's that big R word. It's our relationship with our wonderful triune God. And that relationship in prayer is at the same time mysterious and wonderful. It is also extremely varied. There are all types of prayers, all the way from prayers of praise and thanksgiving to arrow emergency prayers, help, Lord, to intercessory prayers, to petition prayers, and on and on. And in every case, it's the heart that matters. Our walk with the Lord is a relationship, and He looks at our hearts. So I want to address an issue about prayer that is right now percolating through your minds and maybe even agitating your hearts. And that is, you are struggling with a sense of inadequacy about prayer. Maybe even some of those guilt feelings, I just don't pray enough. Well, welcome to the club. So do I. That's just universal. The Lord knows that. And listen, there's no condemnation for those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Instead, what the Lord is doing by His Spirit is encouraging us always to be growing in prayer. It's a process. So if you're feeling inadequate or, man, I'm just not good enough prayer, I can't pray like so-and-so and all that, don't let the enemy rob you of the relationship the Lord has called us into. We all grow in this thing. I have a verse I would like us to read together. It's Ephesians 6:18. Now, this is kind of the end of a well-known little passage we call the armor of God prayer, or the armor of God, right? And it ends with this. So let's read this verse together. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. You see what Paul is saying here? First of all, he points out that there's all kinds of prayers. Oh, there's just such a variety of ways that God's people can pray. And notice, always keep on praying. And in this case, he emphasizes for all the saints. For in other words, believers, fellow believers, we hold one another up in prayer. So it's always a growing experience, learning different types of praying. We do many different types of praying here. Sometimes break into small groups. We have silent prayer. We have prayer that is led, in this case, like today, by me as a pastor, or at the end of our block of worship, Brian had us just do popcorn prayers of praise. There's just so many ways. But one of the very effective ways of praying that I found very helpful, and it's also very simple, is praying Scripture. If you're in a particular, daily devotion and you're going through a book of the Bible or whatever passage you may be in, I look for a key point or theme that then I can turn back into prayer as I pray not only for myself, but for my family and for the church. So, for example, if I read the story of David and Goliath, and I'll see that David trusted God to be his strength to defeat the giants before him. And I might pray, Lord, help me to have that courage and trust in you like David for dealing with the stresses or the issues I'm dealing today. And I'd pray that for my family, for the church. And just to give you an example, because it doesn't matter where in Scripture, when you just open yourself, the Holy Spirit can give some guidance. Right just the chapter before, in chapter 5 of Ephesians, here is some of those words. So I'll just give you an example. Like, let's say this was a part of my reading. I read maybe Ephesians 5, 8 to 18 for my devotion in the morning. And I look at that. And so I might pray something like, Lord, thank you that you've called me out of darkness into your light because you are the light of the world. Thank you for forgiving my sin and opening my eyes to your greatness and your majesty. And now I pray, Lord, by the power of your Spirit, that I would live as your child today, as a child of light, to let you shine in my life wherever I might be. And I pray that you would guide me, Holy Spirit, to know how to please you. What words to share, how to respond to the people around me, what is pleasing to you. And then I would turn that prayer into, I'd pray for my family, that they would live as children of light and find out what pleases you. Then I'd pray for the congregation that same way. It's just praying Scripture. And we know it's the will of God. So that's how we're going to do a little lab work right now at the end of the service. I'm going to put a few scriptures up, and I'm going to invite each of us, in just in silence, we won't read these scriptures out loud, but just read them to yourself, and then in your heart, turn that back into prayer. However the Holy Spirit would lead you, it'll be different for each of us, but just use that scripture as a springboard into prayer. Okay? So here's the first verse. Take a moment, just look this through, and then silently turn that into prayer. Praise God. And then here is a second scripture to pray. And then our Lord is a forgiving God, gracious to forgive our sins. So one more verse here for us to likewise turn into prayer. And I'd like us to do one more passage, but in this case, I'd like us, this is from 2 Timothy 2:11. You know, I think I got that wrong. I think that's actually Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 2:11. But let's read that together, and then I'm going to ask a couple of you to pray from those verses something that strikes you on behalf of Foster Church. You know, pray for our congregation along those lines. So let's first read it together. We constantly pray for you that our God may count you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may fulfill every good purpose of yours and every act prompted by your faith. We pray this in order that the name of the Lord Jesus may be glorified in you. And the you there throughout this is a plural you. So as you look that over, and if the Spirit just kind of, you know, sets a little fire in your heart about something, please pray that on behalf, out loud, a couple of you, on behalf of Foster Church. Father, I want to thank you for the gift of prayer, and just want to pray specifically here that I know it's our heart's desire, it's a good purpose of our heart to grow in prayer. And so we want to say no to any attempts of the enemy to tell us that we're disqualified or we're not able to pray or, you know, we haven't done this well enough or that enough. Father, we just want to grow in your grace through prayer. So I pray that for FTPC, that and it was all be done to the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you so much in advance for answers that bring glory to your name. Amen.